Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling some pretty heavy stuff: humanism, transhumanism, and even posthumanism. We're going to try to trace the evolution of thought from how humans celebrate their place in the world to questioning it altogether.
And you know what's really interesting about these ideas?
What's at that?
These aren't just like ideas stuck in some philosophy book somewhere,
Yeah.
They're actually like shaping the world all around us. They
Absolutely.
influence everything from like scientific advances to like the arguments about ethics that are happening right now.
Exactly. And to kind of guide us through this whole thing, we're using this article from The Spiritual Seek as our compass. And this article, it gets pretty wild. I mean, right away they hit you with this transhumanist test to see like where you land on the spectrum. Have you ever thought about like how much of a transhumanist you are?
I haven't taken that particular test,
Right.
but it's definitely a good way to start thinking about all this stuff personally.
Yeah.
Like, where do we each stand on the idea of using technology to push like the boundaries of what humans can do?
Yeah, for sure. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's start with the basics. Humanism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So humanism, it showed up during the Renaissance, a really amazing time for like intellectual and artistic stuff.
Right.
And it was kind of a pushback against centuries of thought that was dominated by religion.
Okay.
Humanism put humans back in the center. It really emphasized things like reason, evidence, and the idea that every single person has worth.
So it was basically saying instead of looking to like a higher power for answers, humans can figure things out on their own.
It was like a total shift in how people saw things, championing individual freedom and the search for knowledge. Think about people like Leonardo da Vinci and Galileo.
Oh, yeah.
Their work really embodies that like human-centered way of thinking and innovating.
It's like they were the OG humanists.
For sure.
So basically, humanism laid the groundwork for a lot of the values we think are important today. Things like freedom of speech, democracy, individual rights.
Absolutely. It was like planting the seeds for a future where things were better,
Yeah, a more progressive future.
And those seeds definitely grew. Humanism is like woven into how we live today,
For
but then
sure.
comes transhumanism,
Okay.
which takes this idea of human progress and like kicks it into overdrive with technology.
Okay, so this is where things start to get really interesting. Instead of just accepting our limits, transhumanists are like, what if we could use technology to beat disease, aging, even death?
Yeah, it's like humanism 2.0.
Exactly, like leveling up.
And they're not just talking about it, they're actually trying to make it happen.
Really?
Things like biotechnology, nanotechnology, artificial intelligence are giving us tools to change our biology and make ourselves better. Think CRISPR,
CRISPR.
that gene editing tech you hear about that might cure genetic diseases
Yeah, okay.
or brain-computer interfaces,
Yeah.
stuff that could merge our minds with machines.
That's incredible. But are there like downsides to all this? Yeah.
That's when things get complicated. This transhumanist idea of like living forever and being super smart brings up a lot of questions about what's right and wrong and how society will handle it.
Right, like ethical questions, especially and societal questions too.
Like, who gets to use this technology?
Right.
Does it create a world where some humans are better than others?
Oh, wow.
And what happens to how we see ourselves if we're always trying to upgrade?
That's deep. So we've got this potential future where tech has totally changed us. But is there a darker side to all this?
The article we're looking at brings up some important questions, like what about social unrest, people losing their jobs because of tech, and even like weapons made with these new advances?
So it's kind of like a tightrope walk between progress and danger. But I guess that's what makes this whole thing so interesting. Yeah. We're facing some of the biggest questions about what it means to be human. Where do we draw the line between being okay with technology and keeping our humanity?
That's the question we're all going to have to answer as this technology gets better. But before we get too far ahead, let's step back and look at the third part of this whole thing.
Okay.
Posthumanism.
Right, because this is where we go way beyond just talking about the future of humanity. Posthumanism challenges the whole idea of what human even means.
It's like saying, wait a minute, maybe we're not the most important thing in the universe.
Whoa.
Posthumanism really flips the script. It criticizes this idea that's been around for centuries, that humans are like the center of everything.
So instead of just focusing on human progress, it's about acknowledging that we're part of a bigger picture.
and even questioning the lines between us and other things.
Like other species.
Yeah, like animals, the environment, and even technology.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. So how does post-humanism actually change how we think about things? Like, take humans and animals, for example.
Yeah, that's a good one. Post-humanism goes hand in hand with the idea that animals have rights.
Okay.
It challenges this idea that we're somehow better than other species.
Interesting.
It asks us to think about if animals can feel things, if they're smart, and if they suffer.
So instead of seeing them just as, like, something we can use, it's about recognizing that they have value and a right to exist.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just fighting for animal rights. It's about questioning our whole relationship with nature. Instead of thinking we're separate from nature, posthumanism says we're connected to everything.
Which makes me think about the environment. Like, if we really believed in posthumanism, wouldn't we be more likely to protect the planet?
Absolutely. Posthumanism gives us a really strong way to think about environmental problems. It's not just about managing the environment. It's about realizing that all ecosystems have value.
Okay.
And it makes us think about how much we consume and how we affect the planet.
So posthumanism changes how we treat animals, how we see the environment. But it also has something to say about technology, right?
Yeah, we touched on that earlier. Yeah. This is where things get really interesting. Posthumanism sees technology not just as a tool, but as something that's actively shaping who we are and how we understand the world.
Yeah. So it's not just humans using tech, it's tech influencing us.
Exactly. Think about how the internet, smartphones, social media, it's all changed how we talk,
yeah,
get information, and even have relationships.
Yeah.
This stuff isn't neutral. It changes how we see things, our values, even how we see ourselves.
It's like we're always interacting with tech and it's changing us at the same time.
Yeah. It's like humans and tech are evolving together.
That's a great way to put it. And posthumanism wants us to think critically about that.
For sure.
It asks us to question the ideas behind this technology and to think about what it might do to our privacy, our freedom, and even our humanity.
It's not about getting rid of technology altogether. It's about finding a balance where tech makes our lives better without messing up our values or who we are.
Right. And remembering that tech isn't neutral. It's made by humans and can be used for good or bad.
Exactly. Which brings us to artificial intelligence, or AI.
Yeah.
AI is getting really smart really fast. And some people think it could become smarter than us. How does posthumanism see this? That's something a lot of posthumanist thinkers are trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Some say that AI challenges this whole idea that humans are special.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us rethink our place in the universe.
Instead of seeing AI as a threat, they see it as a chance to understand intelligence and consciousness better.
Exactly. It's about going beyond this us versus them idea of humans against machines.
Okay.
And realizing that the future could be this mix of biological and artificial intelligence.
That's a lot to take in. Posthumanism is really making me rethink what it means to be human. But I have to admit, it's a little scary, too. If we're not the center of everything, if what it means to be human is always changing, does that mean our values and purpose don't matter anymore?
That's a worry a lot of people have. Posthumanists would say it's not about giving up on values or meaning.
Okay.
It's about realizing that our values change over time as we understand the world better.
So it's not about feeling like nothing matters or losing our purpose.
No, not at all.
It's about being open to the fact that our values and how we see ourselves are always evolving.
Exactly. And it's about realizing that we create meaning and purpose through what we do, our relationships, and how we interact with the world.
I'm starting to see how this way of thinking could be helpful. It's like posthumanism is giving us a way to deal with all the uncertainty and change in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Without clinging to old ideas about humans being in charge or better than everything else.
It's about being okay with not knowing everything, being open to new things, and recognizing that the future isn't set in stone. It's something we create together.
It's like a call to action, a challenge to get out of our comfort zones and engage with the world in new ways.
And it's a conversation that's happening right now, not just in universities, but in pop culture, art, technology, even the choices we make every day.
So it's not just a bunch of philosophers talking about this stuff. It's actually shaping the world around us.
Exactly. And it needs you to be part of the conversation. We all have a role in shaping the future. And posthumanism gives us a way to think about that future in a way that includes everyone is sustainable and uses our imagination. But let's not forget about humanism and transhumanism.
Right.
Each one builds on the one before it, adding more layers and asking deeper questions.
Yeah, you're right. We've been so focused on posthumanism, we haven't really talked about how it connects to those other ideas. How do they all fit together? Are they totally separate or do they overlap?
That's a great question. I think they're all connected, like chapters in a book.
Okay.
Humanism started things off by focusing on human reason,
right?
Freedom and knowledge. Transhumanism took that and explored how technology could make us better and help us overcome our limits.
So humanism is like the beginning. Transhumanism is the exciting sequel. And then posthumanism comes along and says, hey, let's look at the bigger picture.
Exactly. Posthumanism challenges some of the ideas in humanism and transhumanism, especially the idea that humans are special. But it also uses what they learned, realizing that human values are important and that technology can shape our future.
So posthumanism takes the best parts of both and creates a new way of understanding what it means to be human in a world full of technology and where everything is connected.
That's a great way to put it. It's about recognizing that things are complicated. There are contradictions and possibilities when we stop thinking in simple terms and start to see ourselves and our place in the universe in a more fluid and dynamic way.
This is making me think back to that transhumanist test you mentioned before. It's interesting to think about how posthumanism might change the whole idea of putting ourselves on a transhumanist scale. If posthumanism is about challenging those kinds of categories, then maybe the test itself is part of the old way of thinking.
That's a really good point. It shows how these ideas aren't fixed. They're always changing and interacting, and reminds us to be open to new ideas and to question what we believe.
Well, this conversation has definitely challenged my beliefs and helped me understand what it means to be human in the 21st century. I'm really interested to learn more about this.
That's great. And I think we're ready to move on to the last part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We're going to explore how these ideas are showing up in the real world and what they mean for the future.
I can't wait. This is where we see how these big ideas actually affect our lives. Let's take a quick break and then we'll jump right in.
Welcome back to our deep dive into humanism, transhumanism, and posthumanism. We've laid the groundwork, so now let's really unpack how posthumanism challenges this whole idea of human and ask some pretty mind-bending questions about, like, our place in the universe.
Yeah, it's like holding up a mirror to humanity and being like, okay, let's really look at ourselves and what we believe. Are we really the most important thing out there? Are we the top of the evolutionary ladder? Posthumanism makes us question those deep-seated beliefs.
I'm already feeling a little unsteady. So where did this whole posthumanism thing even come from? It didn't just appear out of nowhere. It came from different intellectual movements coming together. Mm. Feminism, environmentalism, critiques of technology, even postmodern philosophy. All these movements challenge the usual hierarchies and power structures that put humans above everything else.
So it's about realizing that our definition of human has often been used to exclude and exploit others, both human and non-human.
Exactly. Feminist thinkers, for example, have pointed out that the concept of human has often been defined in a masculine way, leaving out women and other genders. Environmentalists have shown how human-centered thinking has led to the exploitation and destruction of nature.
It's like we've built this whole worldview on the idea that humans are exceptional, but posthumanism is saying, hold on a second, that story is incomplete and maybe even harmful.
Exactly, and it's not just about criticizing the past. It's about imagining a future where we move beyond these narrow definitions and embrace a more inclusive and interconnected understanding of ourselves and our place in the world.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all connects. So how does posthumanism actually change how we think about things? Like, let's take the relationship between humans and animals, for example.
That's a great example. Posthumanism lines up with the animal rights movement by challenging the idea that humans are inherently superior to other species. It asks us to consider the sentience, intelligence, and capacity for suffering of non-human animals.
So instead of seeing animals just as resources to be used, it's about recognizing their inherent value and right to exist.
Precisely. And it goes beyond simply advocating for animal rights. It's about questioning the very foundations of our relationship with the natural world. Instead of seeing ourselves as separate from nature, posthumanism emphasizes our interconnectedness with all living things.
Which makes me think about the environmental crisis. If we truly embraced a posthumanist perspective, wouldn't we be more motivated to protect the planet?
Absolutely. Posthumanism provides a powerful framework for addressing environmental issues. It moves beyond simply seeing the environment as a resource to be managed and recognizes the intrinsic value of all ecosystems. It also pushes us to rethink our consumption patterns and our impact on the planet.
So posthumanism has implications for how we treat animals and how we relate to the environment, but it also has something to say about technology, right? We touched on this in part one, and I'm curious to explore it further.
This is where things get particularly interesting. Posthumanism sees technology not just as a tool, but as a force that's actively shaping our identities and our understanding of the world.
So it's not just about humans using technology, it's about technology influencing who we are and how we think.
Exactly. Think about how the internet, smartphones, and social media have fundamentally altered the way we communicate, consume information, and even form relationships. These technologies are not neutral. They shape our perceptions, our values, and even our sense of self.
It's like we're constantly interacting with technology, and in the process, it's changing us. It's almost like a co-evolution of humans and technology.
That's a great way to put it. And posthumanism encourages us to be critical of this co-evolution. It asks us to question the assumptions embedded in these technologies, to consider the potential consequences for our privacy, our autonomy, and even our humanity.
So it's not about rejecting technology altogether, but about being mindful of how it shapes us and making conscious choices about how we integrate it into our lives.
Exactly. It's about finding a balance where technology enhances our lives without eroding our values or our sense of self. It's also about recognizing that technology is not neutral. It's shaped by human values and can be used for good or for ill.
Which brings us to the question of artificial intelligence. AI is becoming increasingly sophisticated, and some experts believe that it could eventually surpass human intelligence. How does posthumanism view this potential development?
That's a question that posthumanist thinkers are actively exploring. Some argue that the rise of AI challenges the very notion of human exceptionalism and forces us to reconsider our place in the universe. Instead of seeing AI as a threat, they see it as an opportunity to expand our understanding of intelligence and consciousness.
So it's about moving beyond this binary of humans versus machines and recognizing that the future might involve a more complex and nuanced relationship between biological and artificial intelligence.
Precisely. Posthumanism encourages us to think beyond the traditional categories and hierarchies that have defined our understanding of the world. It's about embracing complexity, fluidity, and the potential for new forms of existence.
This is a lot to wrap our heads around. Posthumanism is definitely challenging me to rethink some of my most fundamental assumptions about what it means to be human. But I have to admit, it's also a bit unsettling. If we're not at the center of things, if our definition of human is constantly evolving, does that mean that our values and our sense of purpose become irrelevant?
That's a common concern. But posthumanist thinkers would argue that it's not about abandoning values or meaning. It's about recognizing that our values are not fixed and unchanging. They evolve over time as our understanding of the world changes.
So it's not about nihilism or a loss of meaning, but about embracing the fluidity and the constant evolution of our values and our understanding of ourselves.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that meaning and purpose are not something that are simply given to us. They are something we create through our actions, our relationships, and our engagement with the world.
I'm starting to see the appeal of this perspective. It's like posthumanism is offering us a way to navigate the uncertainty and rapid change of the 21st century without clinging to outdated narratives about human dominance or exceptionalism.
It's about embracing the unknown, being open to new possibilities, and recognizing that the future is not something that is predetermined, but something we create together.
It's definitely a call to action, a challenge to step outside of our comfort zones and engage with the world in new and more expansive ways.
And it's a conversation that's happening right now, not just in academic circles, but in popular culture, in art, in technology, and in the everyday choices we make.
So it's not just a bunch of philosophers sitting in ivory towers. It's a living, breathing philosophy that's shaping the world around us.
Exactly. And it's a conversation that needs your participation. We all have a role to play in shaping the future. And posthumanism offers us a framework for thinking about that future in more inclusive, sustainable, and imaginative ways. But let's not forget that it grew out of earlier movements, like humanism and transhumanism. Each one builds on the last, adding layers of complexity and asking deeper questions.
That's a good point. We've been so focused on posthumanism that we haven't really touched on how it relates to humanism and transhumanism. How do these three isms fit together? Are they completely separate philosophies, or is there some overlap?
That's a great question. I see them as interconnected, almost like chapters in a book. Humanism laid the groundwork by emphasizing human reason, individual liberty, and the pursuit of knowledge. Transhumanism built on that foundation by exploring how technology can be used to enhance human capabilities and overcome our limitations.
So humanism is like the origin story. Transhumanism is the adventurous sequel, and then posthumanism comes along and says, hold on, let's zoom out and look at the bigger picture.
Exactly. Posthumanism challenges some of the assumptions of humanism and transhumanism, particularly the idea of human exceptionalism, but it also builds on their insights, recognizing the importance of human values and the potential of technology to shape our future.
It's like posthumanism is taking the best of both worlds and weaving them into a new and more nuanced understanding of what it means to be human in a technologically advanced and increasingly interconnected world.
That's a great way to put it. It's about recognizing the complexities, the contradictions, and the possibilities that emerge when we move beyond simple binaries and embrace a more fluid and dynamic view of ourselves and our place in the universe.
This is making me think back to that transhumanist test you mentioned earlier. It's interesting to consider how posthumanism might complicate the whole idea of categorizing ourselves along a transhumanist spectrum. If posthumanism is about challenging those kinds of categories, then maybe the test itself is part of the old way of thinking.
That's a really insightful point.
Yeah.
It highlights how these ideas are not static. They're constantly evolving and interacting with each other. And it underscores the importance of staying open to new perspectives and challenging our own assumptions.
Well, this conversation has definitely challenged my assumptions and expanded my understanding of what it means to be human in the 21st century. I'm feeling inspired to keep digging deeper into these ideas.
That's the spirit. And I think we're ready to move into the final part of our deep dive, where we'll explore how these ideas are playing out in the real world and what implications they have for the future.
I can't wait. This is where the rubber meets the road and where we can start to see how these philosophical concepts are shaping the world around us. Let's take another quick break and then we'll jump right in. All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive. We've explored this whole evolution of thought from humanism to transhumanism and landed in this like mind-bending world of post-humanism.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey, you know, tracing these ideas and how they all connect, making us rethink our place in the universe and what it means to be human in a world that's changing so fast.
Right. We've talked about how technology could enhance us and even change what we are. We dug into the ethics of gene editing AI and this whole idea of becoming post-human, but it's all kind of theoretical until we see how it's actually showing up in our lives.
Exactly. These aren't just theories stuck in some academic paper. They're actively shaping our world right now and influencing the future.
So let's make this real. What are some actual examples of humanism, transhumanism, and post-humanism happening in our lives right now?
We'll look around. The most obvious example is technology. Advancements in things like biotechnology, nanotechnology, and artificial intelligence are being driven by these transhumanist ideals. We're seeing the development of some really powerful tools that could change healthcare, help us live longer, and even boost our brain power.
It's like science fiction is becoming reality right in front of us, like CRISPR and brain-computer interfaces. Those used to be fantasy, but now they're at the forefront of scientific research.
Exactly. And while these technologies have huge potential to solve some of humanity's biggest problems, they also bring up a lot of ethical concerns.
Right. Like with CRISPR, we could cure genetic diseases, but it also could lead to designer babies. And who knows what kind of impact that would have on future generations.
Absolutely. It's a two-sided coin, and it forces us to make some really tough choices.
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line between therapy and enhancement? Who gets to use this technology, and how do we make sure it's used responsibly?
And it's not just biotech. AI is advancing so quickly, too. Some experts think we're close to creating AI that's smarter than humans. That's both exciting and kind of scary.
It definitely changes everything. And posthumanism gives us a way to think about it. It challenges us to move past this human-centered view and consider a future where intelligence isn't limited to humans.
So instead of being afraid of super intelligent AI, it's about finding ways to live with it and even work with it.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that the future might not be us versus them, humans versus machines. It could be a much more complex relationship between biological and artificial intelligence.
Wow. Okay. That's a big idea to think about. But it makes you wonder what happens to our sense of self, our values, our purpose, if we're not the only intelligent beings in the universe.
That's a deep question, and one that posthumanism encourages us to explore. It's about understanding that how we see ourselves and where we fit in is always changing.
So it's not about clinging to old ideas that humans are special. It's about accepting that in the future, the lines between human and non-human might become blurred.
Exactly. And this blurring isn't just happening with technology. Posthumanism is also affecting how we see the natural world.
Right. We talked about how posthumanism challenges this idea that humans are in charge of nature. It's about understanding that we're connected to all living things and that the health of the planet is tied to our own well-being.
And we're seeing this idea show up in how people are becoming more aware of environmental problems and supporting movements for animal rights, sustainability, and a more balanced relationship with nature.
It's like we're realizing that we're not just passengers on this spaceship Earth. We're part of the crew and we have to take care of it.
That's a great analogy. And that sense of responsibility also applies to the technologies we create. We can't just keep chasing technological progress without thinking about the ethical implications and what it might mean for us, for future generations, and for the planet.
So it's about being thoughtful, intentional, and making choices about the kind of future we want.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to you, the listener. We've explored these really complex and interesting ideas, but now it's your turn to think about them. Where do you stand on these issues? What values will guide you as we move into this unknown future?
It's a question we should all be asking ourselves. Are we headed towards a technological paradise or a dystopian nightmare? Will we embrace the possibilities of enhancing ourselves without losing our humanity? Will we find a way to live with artificial intelligence, or will it control us?
There are no easy answers. But asking these questions is how we start creating a future that reflects what we believe in. Remember, these aren't just abstract debates. They're real issues that will affect us all.
So stay curious, keep learning, and most importantly, stay involved. The future is being shaped right now, and we all have a part to play.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been great exploring these amazing ideas with you.
And remember, the exploration doesn't stop here. Keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep diving deep.